Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is season 2, episode 25, and I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. Actually, beautiful day in Chicago today, 44 degrees. Actually went for a long walk after I got done with my son's college visit earlier today. And finally got some decent weather here in Chicago, which is great.
The meltdown is starting.
Yeah, it's great.
A couple stories that caught our eye is Romero Marroc went back to Gulfstream for the first time after his big accident that he had. You know, he broke a couple of vertebrae in his back.
Yeah.
So everybody was welcome to see him. He's a 19-year-old kid here, so he's got quite a career ahead of him. So
yeah, and he was actually doing pretty nicely at Gulfstream.
Yeah, he was.
Part of a very large Marroc contingency down in the down at Gulfstream Park. So trainers and there's a lot of connections there. So yeah, he was doing relatively well before he got hurt.
Yeah, so it was good. Welcome to see you. He's up and he's up and going here. And of course, Paco Lopez is officially suspended for that incident that injured him for 30 days. So
yeah,
you won't be seeing him on any mountains anytime in the next 30 days.
No, right? So I'll have to put taking Paco on the shelf for a while.
Yeah,
as one of my pet phrases.
We can't use that phrase. So
no.
Other thing that in the horse racing world is, I guess, big decision time in Maryland about the Preakness and Pimlico. Pimlico is way overdue for probably a teardown because it is such an old facility. But it's got a lot of history, a lot of classic places to go. So the Baltimore Sun had an article that they got to make a decision here sometime soon. A lot of battle between because it's, I believe, Laurel is not in Baltimore. So they want to move it to Laurel Park and the Stromach is having some battles with the mayor of Baltimore and everything going on there. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes and if they have it at Laurel. So,
yeah, I went to Pimlico maybe 25 years ago, Dave, and it was incredibly run down. Yeah. So I can't even imagine what it's like now.
Yeah.
So, it's, to be the host of one of the Triple Crown races, makes sense that they would be thinking about some other venue there in the middle eastern part of the United States. So it's probably a good move.
Just like the article says, it says it's Baldwin better figure it out fast because time is on Stronach's side. Because every year passes, they can't get the redevelopment of Pimlico. That means it's going to move outside the city and go to Laurel, so Laurel Park. So,
yeah,
and I'm sure they're,
which will be fine. Yeah,
Laurel
that'd be
Park
great.
Will open their arms. Be happy,
sure.
Happy to take it. So,
yep.
So a couple other things. Victor Espinoza returned to horse racing for his first time on the 17th. He was on a horse this past week, which is super exciting. I'm so glad he's back.
Yep.
So he's recovered from his back injury, and he's been working horses with Bob Baffert, and that's some great news. So glad he's back. And then lastly, you just brought this up, but I didn't realize it. They're actually going to build a hockey rink at Belmont Park. I mean,
yes.
And I have to see this picture they have.
Well, you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago the fact that the Saratoga meet was going to start earlier because of the construction of Belmont Park. And I thought they were going to renovate Belmont Park, but they're actually building a hockey arena, for God's sake, for the Islanders.
Yeah, so the Islanders were kicked out of Brooklyn, so they're a hockey team without an arena. So
that's pretty crazy.
But they're saying the project is delayed, so it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But at first we had thought that Belmont was just closing down for some remodeling, but I guess
that's pretty
extensive remodeling by adding an indoor hockey rink. So
that's pretty cool.
Anyway, that's some of the news we caught for today. Let's get started here. Visit our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. And at the top of the page, you find all the links, all the ways you can listen to us. We have all your bases covered. Just click a link. Be sure you join our Facebook group. The link's at our website where we post many topics and a lot of discussion that goes on there. if you want to ask your Amazon Echo, Echo Play Off the Charts Horse Racing on TuneIn, you can listen to our latest episode on your Amazon Echo. Of course, be sure you're following us on Twitter at Off the Charts HR. As Steve, you might even post some late day changes or even some other picks you find. And our donation page on Patreon. Please donate to our podcast by going to patreon.com/offthechartshorseracing. If you click and become a Patreon, on the button that's at the top of the page, and the next page will bring you over with win, play, show donations for monthly, or you can click the custom pledge and you can just give us a one-time pledge, which we'd really appreciate. I know a lot of people are enjoying the podcast, so thanks for those who are donating, and we hope that you do as well. For this week, you got the last week's results, this week's Horse Nug segment is going to be on the win bet handicapping. Is it the win bet?
It's just handicapping horses to win, Dave. I'll get into it a little deeper. Okay. It's a repeat of a few things I've said before, but I thought I'd put it in one just nugget segment today. Right. And just been thinking about it a lot lately.
Good. Well, I think that's going to be an excellent topic on the nuggets. And then you have three stakes races from Gulfstream Park this week. So got a lot to talk about today. So go ahead and give us a review last week.
Yeah, Dave, so not a bad week last week. Four stakes races at Fairgrounds. We had two top pick winners, so not bad. So 50% with top pick winners. So overall, Dave, 380 stakes races, 169 top two pick winners. Mm-hmm. And we are now solidly in the 44% range from a in terms of identifying the winners of these stakes races in our top two picks. So, you know, pretty good week. Fairgrounds, tough track, a little bit different venue for me. Yeah, a lot of long shots come in there. We held our own.
Good. So that was last week's results. Let's go right into our Horse Nugget segment. This week's Horse Nugget segment is on win handicapping. And you said that first I was talking about the win bet and handicapping that. But you have some perspective on this, so go ahead and give us your thoughts.
I do, Dave. Actually, it can be a win handicapping betting to win segment as well. But okay. I just want to make some clarification because I get asked these questions sometimes, Twitter or with direct message, or mm-hmm. sometimes with email. Yep. When I'm handicapping these races and the horses that I talk about and give out as selections in these races are horses I think can win the race. Mm-hmm. Again, because I've limited myself to just three horses in any given race, it doesn't mean that I think that only three horses in a particular race could win the race. Many times, I think there's probably four or five horses that could win a particular race. And in other races, Dave, I give out three picks, but I feel pretty good about the pick I gave out as the top pick. And I try to communicate that, as I'm walking through the races. But so that's one thing. The second thing I wanted to mention about the fact that when I'm handicapping horses that I think can win the race, right. What I'm not handicapping is horses that I think are going to run second and third as part of the top three picks. So if you use our picks and you hit an exacta and you hit a trifecta, that's wonderful. But just understand that that's not the way that when you handicap and your focus is trifectas and perfectas, you're trying to predict horses that might run second or third or be in the money, you're handicapping the race a lot differently. Right. I'm trying to identify horses that I think can win. You'll also find that there are times when I'm identifying horses that I think can win, I'm leaving out potentially sometimes the morning line favorite. Does that mean I think the morning line favorite can't win the race? No, it doesn't mean that.
Right.
I probably will include that morning line favorite at times in my pick threes, pick fours, and pick fives as I add additional horses. But what I'm trying to do in these podcasts is just identify horses and especially horses where I think there's going to be value that can win the race. So sure. I'm a win handicapper. That's the way that I handicap. So when people are looking at our selections here, that's what I want them to realize. And you know, I often get asked, you know, how do you play You know, how do you play your selections? You know, what are your strategies? You know me, I play pick threes, pick fours, and pick fives. And in certain races, I spread them out. And in other races, I single horses. I'll try to do a little bit better job of communicating some of that as we walk through the races, and especially like today.
Yeah, no, that's a great perspective to really understand that. Yeah, those top three horses you've picked are, you think they're going to win, and you rank them in order. That makes complete sense. And that's the thing. There's many other handicappers out there, and I've watched plenty of times, and plenty of our friends too who do it this way. They want to figure out let's handicap when that horse comes in second, third, or even our friend Charlie who likes to do the fourth, hit those superfectas, which are near impossible. So that's what's the uniqueness of handicapping. And yeah, we appreciate that you're picking us winners, and you think they're winners, and we hope they are. So, and you're doing well with it, and everybody's enjoying it. So
no, exactly, Dave. So I, you know, Mike, my thought here is that I'll just try to communicate a little bit more of that.
Awesome.
Because, you know, as I've mentioned to you, my friend Tim, who's, listens to us and loves our podcast. He does some of his own handicapping and adds in the stuff that I'm communicating. And that's really has always been the intent
of this podcast.
Of the podcast.
Yep.
So I want to educate, teach a little bit. I also want to give out some picks that I think have a chance. And I want to give people the reasons why I think they have a chance.
Yeah.
I feel like if you took the information we're giving on these podcasts and added it to some stuff that you like or already know, that you're going to make money at the racetrack. So
absolutely.
Anyways, Dave, I don't want to be on a soapbox about this, but I just want to make sure that the listeners understand that the horses I'm giving out are horses I think can win the race.
Nope. No, good perspective. We appreciate it. And let's go right into the races. And once you're going to give us our perspective of one of these three are going to win. In your mind,
yes.
These are all stakes races. So I'm going to start with the ninth race here at Gulfstream Park. It's 5 furlongs, so it's a short distance. It's the Melody of Colors. It's $75,000, and it's for filly 3-year-olds. Go ahead and give us your picks.
On the turf.
And it's on the turf. Yes. Sorry about that.
Yep. It's okay. So for instance, Dave, this ninth race at Gulfstream on Saturday, I probably have identified, I don't know, 5 or 6 horses here that I think have a chance to win this race. This was a really hard race to handicap.
There you go.
And a challenging. I enjoyed this one. I had to spend a lot of time on this one to actually start to come up with the 3 horses I at least am going to make sure that I play in my win bet sequences. So I'm going to make the 9-horse Dave play on with Brad Cox training, Sean Bridgmahan, the jockey at 6-1, our top selection. I like the bullet work out there at Fairgrounds, that 1 out of 170 horses that worked out at 4 furlongs that day in 47 flat. This horse is 1-for-1 on the turf. And that was a sprinting effort win at Fairgrounds. Cox is not a local trainer to Gulfstream. So when Cox brings one in to run in a minor stakes race, sprinting on the turf, I got to think there's a reason for it. So I would think that this horse is pretty well positioned. Also to get probably a nice, serviceable early speed kind of trip. This horse doesn't need the lead to win, can sit just off the pace, and then outside post position is perfect for that. So I'm going to take the 9-horse Dave play on as our top selection in this 9th race at Gulfstream on Saturday. Our second selection, I'm going to go to the rail. Beachwood Ella, Patrick Biancone trains, Julian Le Perouse, the jockey, 7-2 in the morning line. I've made a notation here that final last 1/8 of a mile was in less than 12 seconds in that last race at Gulfstream on the turf. So I know this horse has a burst of speed. This horse just flew in the stretch the last time. Really interesting to me is that this horse draws the rail again. Had the rail the last time.
Look at the draw.
I like
and it's
patterns.
Irish.
yes, it is. I like patterns, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I like Le Perouse in turf sprints. He will sit patiently on this thing. And if he finds the right opening, this horse has probably got a big shot at winning, as do a number of others in this race. So yeah. I'm going to make the one horse Dave Beachwood Ella my second selection in this ninth race at Gulfstream on Saturday. And then my third and final selection, I'm going to make the six horse Don't Make Fun. A. Joseph trains Javier Castellano, the jockey, 6-1 in the morning line. The big thing for me here, Dave, is the 16-point improvement in buyer speed figures from this horse's first lifetime start. 65 to 81, pretty nice jump. So 16-length improvement. This will be this horse's third lifetime start. So, again, there's probably some more in the tank here. Mm-hmm. Jockey change from Tyler Gaffleon, who's a fine jockey, to Javier Castellano, who's probably one of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And not making a whole lot of mistakes at Gulfstream at the current moment, racing at 22%. So let's make the six horse Don't Make Fun our third and final selection, Dave. So to summarize, Gulfstream Park's ninth race on Saturday, our selections are going to be 9-1-6. But I also recommend taking a look at some of these other horses and maybe spreading yourself out in this race. I mean, you've got a first North American start with Sadler mm-hmm. on the 5, getting Lasix for the first time. You got Jose Ortiz on a Cassie horse on the 3, going turf to turf in its second lifetime start. You got a nice, decent long shot in the 7, who's got some great bullet workouts. He has a great Tomlinson for the turf. You've got the 8 horse who's turning back from a route race back down to a sprint, getting Lasix for the first time with a trainer that does really well with horses given Lasix for the first time. I'm telling you, this is one of those races you might want to spread yourself out a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. And if you're going to play a pick 3 or pick 4, this is a pick 3. You'll be able to spread yourself out with this. Yes, this is a pick 3 and a pick start and a pick 5 too. So
yep,
you can get some of the other races too.
Might be a race when you want to spread yourself out a little bit.
Yeah. So all right. So then now let's move on. That was great. I appreciate just you giving us some extra insights on some of the other horses in that race. So let's move on to the 11th race. 11th race actually is a grade 3. It's the Hal's Hope. Purse is $100,000. It's for 4-year-olds on upward, and it's a mile, and it's give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So my top selection in this race is the 7 horse Coppertown. Coppertown is trained by Todd Pletcher, Javier Castellano, 6-1 in the morning line. This horse got cooked he was up pretty close and a pretty fast pace the last time in the slop at Gulfstream Park. I know that we made this horse one of our top 2 picks in that race. Mm-hmm. This horse was really fractious at the gate, was really giving the handlers a pretty hard time getting him in the gate. This horse went off as the post-time favorite. And I'm going to give a little handicapping tip right now. Mm-hmm. Something interesting for the cappers to do. In any race you're handicapping, draw a line through the horse's last race. And no matter how they did, just draw a line through it and then look at the rest of the races and see if it changes your mind about a horse. What happens to a lot of handicappers, Dave, is that they focus solely or more importantly on the horse's last race. And sometimes if you can just take that race, no matter whether it was good or bad, and wipe it off and see how much you might like the horse. If I take a line and draw it through this horse's last race and look at the body of work, which is why I made this horse a selection the last time this horse was in, this horse looks like he'll be right there, and now you're getting 6-1 because he had a pretty rotten effort on a really sloppy track where he was fractious at the gate. So I think we're getting some value here. We get second off a layoff. We get Castellano, 6-1 morning line. I'm going to make the 7 horse, Dave, Coppertown, our top selection in this 11th race.
Great.
Our second selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 2 horse. The 2 horse is Fellowship. Fellowship is trained by Kenneth Decker. We get Irad Ortiz as the jockey. We get 12-1 in the morning line. Nice. We get second off a layoff. We get a bullet work at Tampa, that deep track at Tampa, coming off that sloppy effort at mm-hmm. Gulfstream Park.
Yep.
Obviously, this horse is being housed at Tampa and is shipped over to Gulfstream for these races. We get a nice middle move there. A sub 22 second quarter there, kind of right in the middle of the race, which mm-hmm. to me is always a hidden quarter that when you get this kind of information, like we get out of the formulator when we run it, that's a pretty nice move. And we get a 90 buyer speed figure. And we get a jockey in Ired Ortiz, who's riding me at 26% at 12-1. So let's make the two horse Dave Fellowship our second selection in this 11th race. And our third and final selection, let's go to the five horse. The five horse is Quip, Rudolph, Brissette trains. We get the other Ortiz brother, Jose, on this one, 4-1. We got a bullet work at the pace and training track coming in this race. So two workouts back on February 11th, we get a bullet, get a horse that was kind of on the Derby trail last year, got put on the shelf after that really bad effort at the Preakness. But we do get a four-year-old, he has a chance to improve. As you know, I like horses in their four-year-old season. And Jose Ortiz isn't doing a whole lot wrong there either. Brissette is 27% in great stakes races. So let's make the five horse, Dave, Quip, our third and final selection here, Dave. So to summarize, Gulfstream Park race 11, our selections, Dave, are going to be 7-2-5.
All right. And then we'll move on to the last race you've handicapped for this week. This is the 12th race at Gulfstream Park. It's another short distance of 5 furlongs on the turf. It's the Texas Glitter. It's $75,000, and this is for three-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, my top selection in this 12th race at Gulfstream on Saturday is the five horse. The five horse is Stand Up, Pletcher Trains, Javier Castellano, the jockey, 3-1 the morning line. We get turf to turf, which I like. We get a sub-12 second, last eighth of a mile there in that sprint where this horse just came up short, though, was flying in the stretch. Pletcher's 29% with maiden second-time starters, and he's when Pletcher and Castellano get together, they're 23%. So this horse makes a lot of sense to me. Javier does really well in these short sprint races. So let's make the five-horse Stand Up our top selection in this 12th race at Gulfstream on Saturday. Our second selection, we're going to go to the rail, Dave. We're going to take the one horse, Our Boy Bodie. Georgina Baxter trains. We get Jose Ortiz, the jockey. Get 12-1 in the morning line. Georgina Baxter is kind of an off-the-radar kind of trainer, but I did note that in turf sprints, Dave, 31%. So, and that's a pretty nice body of work, too, 32 tries, hitting at a 31% clip. So this, she kind of specializes in turf races. This horse is 1-for-1 on the turf, 361 Tomlinson. So this horse has been bred to love the turf, draws a nice inside post position with Jose Ortiz, who certainly knows how to gas a horse out of there. Yep. This horse has obviously got a chance to possibly go wire to wire in here at 12-1. So let's make the one horse, Our Boy Bodie, our second selection in this 12th race at Gulfstream on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then our third and final selection, we will make the four horse. Yes, I Am Free with Mark Cassie training. I Rad Ortiz, the jockey, 2-1 in the morning line. We will make this horse, the four horse, our third and final selection. Mm-hmm. We get Cassie with a horse going turf to turf. Using I Rad Ortiz, who's, another outstanding turf jockey. They're 26% when Cassie and Irad or Ortiz team up together. So though this horse is the morning line favorite, I would want to make sure that I had this horse in any of my multi-win race wagers. So let's make the four horse our third selection here, Dave. So to summarize, Dave, Gulfstream Park race 12, our selections are 5-1-4.
All right, yeah, a couple mixed with the Ortiz brothers in a couple of those races. And I Read Ortiz, by the way, today, Friday, as we record this, had 4 wins today. So he's 4 wins. So he's having quite a meet there. And, you definitely can't go wrong with I Read. So, well, we appreciate that. Those are some great picks. Hopefully, we have some winners. And with that, let's wrap things up. Be sure you're visiting our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. You know what to do. Click the links. You can listen to us at the top of the page or go to our website there. And on Twitter at Off the Charts HR, be sure you're following us. Any podcast updates, any race day changes, or any other picks Steve may have. And if you have any questions you want to send us email, please send it to questions at offthechartshorseracing.com. With that, do you have any closing comments?
No, Dave, just looking forward to a good day of racing. I think there's a 40% chance of rain at Hallandale Beach, so it's not bad. So hopefully we'll stay dry and have a good day of racing there.
And stay on the turf and get some good racing. So, all right. With that, thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.